what becomes of the brokenhearted. They become fearful. Somebody told me that hurt people hurt people. Let me get that to you again. Hurt people hurt people. That people who are hurt, then they in turn hurt others. What becomes of the brokenhearted, they become self-destructive. They try to medicate themselves. They try to medicate themselves with prescription medication or even illegal substance. They try to take care of their situation that way, or maybe they try to deal with the fact that, you know, let me just go out and drown all my sorrows in the world and in the things of the world.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of How Do You Mend a Broken Heart, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How Do You Mend a Broken Heart, Part 2.
I can think of younger days when living my life was everything a man could want to do. But I could never see tomorrow. And no one ever told me about the sorrow. Can you identify with that? That in your younger days, when it seemed like you were footloose and fancy free, how that you couldn't see many of the tragic problems that you would have to face. You could never see tomorrow, and you know, the sad reality is, like the songwriter said, nobody told me about the sorrow. And then the songwriter says, how can you mend? How can you mend a broken heart? And it's from the following statements, it seems like he's suggesting that it's impossible to mend a broken heart, because he says, how can you stop the rain from falling down? You can't stop the rain from falling down. That's almost impossible. How can you stop the sun from shining? You can't stop the sun from shining. It's impossible. And then almost out of a state of confusion, the songwriter says, and what makes the world go round? So, a series of questions that are either impossible to do or unanswerable relates back to the theme, which is, how do you mend a broken heart? Is it impossible to mend a broken heart? Some people might say that no one ever died of a broken heart, but it sure feels like it when you're suffering and going through the midst of the situations of a broken heart. As we look at the scripture, we want to answer that question that the BGs asked, that Al Green asked, how do you mend a broken heart? So that's what we're going to finish doing. We started doing it a couple weeks ago, and we're going to finish answering that question today. First of all, we want to look at, what is a broken heart? What is a broken heart? A broken heart is a heart that is depressed or crushed by grief or despair. excuse me. A broken heart is a heart that's filled with sadness. And if you have ever had your heart broken, you have gone through these experiences, that your heart has been depressed, or maybe you had high hopes for something, and all of a sudden your heart has been crushed by grief and despair, and now it's a heart that's filled with sadness. Who are the brokenhearted? And they are all around us. Steve Green sang a song that people need the Lord. He said, all you need to do is look around you, and you see people that need the Lord. And you want to know who the brokenhearted are? I guarantee you, when you walk into this sanctuary today, there's brokenhearted people in here. When you go out into the street, there's brokenhearted people on the street. When you go on your job, there's brokenhearted people on your job. In your community, there's brokenhearted people in your community. Who are the brokenhearted? Well, it's a couple on the verge of divorce. It's someone who has lost a loved one, and their heart has been crushed or broken by grief and despair, and I was filled with sadness. Someone who is wounded by the actions of another person. Somebody did something wrong to you, and now you've been wounded and your heart has been broken. Somebody maybe who is here has experienced some type of misfortune, whether it's financial or health, that you've dealt with a loss or tragedy in the area of misfortune. Maybe it's someone here who lost their first love. You were in love. You remember what it was like to be loved. I like the song by Earth, Wind, and Fire that says something happened along the way, and yesterday is all we have. So what happened there? Somebody lost their first love, and now they're brokenhearted. Now they're crushed. Maybe you've been rejected by another person, and that caused you to experience heartbreak. And you say, Pastor Glaze, what I'm dealing with is not up there. Well, let me just tell you this. Just go ahead and bullet it and just add it on the list. I might have missed it. You bullet it and add it on the list. Who are the brokenhearted? Then we dealt with the question, what becomes of the brokenhearted? I'm filled with songs this morning. David Ruffin asked the question, what becomes of the brokenhearted? He never answered the question. He never told us what becomes of the brokenhearted. You see, somebody says that time heals all wounds, but that's not true. That's not true. And I know I've said that on many occasions. I've told people that time heals all wounds, but that's not true. Because if you process things the wrong way and you process things the wrong way over a period of time, then you will never be healed. And so only when you handle, as a Christian, only when you handle it biblically will you experience healing. You just can't go through life and not deal with the situation and think that time is going to heal your wound. It's not. So what becomes of the brokenhearted? Well, if they don't handle it correctly, they become bitter. If they don't handle it correctly, they try to seek revenge. They try to pay the other person back, the person that wounded them or the person that hurt them. They try to get revenge. What happens to the brokenhearted? They get angry. They get angry with God. They get angry with other people. What happens to the brokenhearted? They become untrusting. They have a hard time trusting people. What becomes of the brokenhearted? They become lonely because they isolate themselves and they don't want to get around other people. What becomes of the brokenhearted? They become disillusioned. They had high hopes at one time. They had these visions of grandeur. They thought that everything was going to be hunky-dory in their life for a long period of time. And then all of a sudden, they got their heart broken. Now they've become disillusioned. Some people become fearful. What becomes of the brokenhearted? They become fearful. Somebody told me that hurt people hurt people. Let me get that to you again. Hurt people hurt people. That people who are hurt, then they in turn hurt others. What becomes of the brokenhearted? They become self-destructive. They try to medicate themselves. They try to medicate themselves with prescription medication or even illegal substance. They try to take care of their situation that way, or maybe they try to deal with the fact that, you know, let me just go out and drown all my sorrows in the world and in the things of the world. What becomes of the brokenhearted? You can see right there. You know, those are things that become of the brokenhearted. Maybe you see yourself up there. After I preached this message a couple weeks ago, one person came up to me and pastor said, I see everything in me but two. There's two things up there that's not true, but everything else up there is true of me. So I know that there are people out there, and you're sitting here today, and you're under one of those situations, or maybe you're under multiple situations that we've listed today. Well, the message is for you. Hang on, because there's hope in the Word of God. How do you mend a broken heart? We talked about this the last time, so I'm just going to go through them real quick. First of all, you got to realize that God specializes in mending broken hearts. That's God's thing. In Psalm 34 and verse 18, it says that he is near to those who are of a broken heart. So if you have a broken heart for whatever reason and you're here today, rest assured of the fact that God is near to you. In theology, we teach that God is omnipresent and we know that he's everywhere. But when you're hurting, God draws a little bit closer to you. And you know, you might not be able to feel it, and you might not be able to say, well, I don't know, I don't realize any difference, but you have to exercise faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you have to realize that God is there. And you say, I can't feel him, and I don't see him, but he's there. He has drawn close to you, and you've got to accept that by faith. We see that God not only draws close to us in times like these, but also the Bible says that he binds the wounds of the brokenhearted. Psalm 147, verse 3. God stops the bleeding. Oh, I love that. I love that. God stops the bleeding. If your heart has been broken, blood begins to come out. And it's good to know that God stops the bleeding. He gives beauty for ashes. Ashes represent the ugly things that have happened to you in your life. Ashes represent somebody who has mistreated you. Ashes represent the fact that you've been dogged out. Ashes represent the fact that you've experienced misfortune. And in Isaiah 61, verse 3, it says that he will give you beauty. Woo. For ashes. You know what that word beauty means? It refers to a garland or a crown around the head. You see, when people were in deep grief or mourning, what they would do was put ash all over their body, ash on their face and forehead, and ash on their body. And God says that I'm going to take away that mourning, and I'm going to give you a crown of rejoicing. He said, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. I'm going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. If you read the scripture, you realize that during times of mourning, one of the things that they said, put away the oil. That when you were in a state of mourning, you put away the oil. God says that I'm going to give you joy, the oil of joy for mourning. And he says, I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He's going to give you party clothes for the black suits and the black dresses. He's going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So realize that God, and again, this is by faith. You realize that this is God's thing. You know, if I went to several of you in the congregation, you specialize in things. And if there was something that needed to be done and I went to you, I would be going to you because I know that you know what you're doing and you can get the job done. Well, you need to realize that God knows what he's doing and he can get the job done. This is his thing. This is, you know, when God sees somebody that's brokenhearted, God says, okay, time for me to go to work. That's when he's at his best. When is God at his best? Well, I believe that he was at his best when he saved us. But again, when is another time that God is at his best? Is when he's healing the brokenhearted. And so realize that God specializes in mending broken hearts. And we looked at the second thing. Don't run from the heartbreak, but find God's answer in it. Oftentimes we are hurting and we want to be relieved of the pain and we want to be relieved of the heartbreak, but you know, we need to buckle down and realize that we're going to be in this thing for the long haul. And sometimes the situation might not change, and the only thing that's going to change is your heart. And so you need to realize that God has a lesson in it for you. And instead of trying to run away from the pain and trying to run away from the situation and get some relief, and I know we all want relief. That's what we all want. That's why they got medications. You can go to the drugstore. And if you're having some discomfort in your body, you can get some relief from your discomfort. But sometimes in the spirit, you might not get any immediate relief. And you just need to realize, I got to buckle down. And you know what? I'm not going to run from this, but I'm going to find out what God has for me in this. That's why the verse that we have there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says that God comforts you in your discomfort so that you might be able to comfort somebody else with the same comfort that God comforted you. Amen. And so we run from the trial. We run from the heartbreak. And then God has somebody that he wants us to minister to. And we can't minister to them. And the reason that we can't minister to them because we ran from the trial and the tribulation, and we didn't learn what God wanted us to learn while we were there so we could take it and share it with somebody else. I tell you, I don't know how many times that, and when I'm talking to other people, a lot of times what I just tell people is how God brought me through. And you tell them how God brought you through, and God might not work in the exact same way, but you know that he is a deliverer, you know that he is a way maker, you know that he can take you out of that situation, and you can give that person hope. And say, I made it through, and you can make it through. We need to find God's answers. You heard the story about the little boy who was optimistic, and he was optimistic about everything. And his parents was trying to teach him a lesson. And they said, well, son, you know, you can't be optimistic about everything because there are some bad things that happen in life. But he wouldn't accept that. He refused to accept that. So on his birthday, his parents filled his room with manure. And the little boy went into the room and looked and started digging in the manure and came out all stinky and smelly. And his parents said, son, we're trying to teach you a lesson. Why did you go in there and do that? He said, because with all that manure in there, I knew there had to be a pony in there somewhere. See, we need to find the pony in the, right? 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 We need to find the pony in the, we need to find the lesson, the valuable. We need to find that which is valuable in the mess that we're going through instead of running from the situation. And so we see here that God gives us this opportunity to find the answers that he would have us. Number three, we need to utilize the streams in the desert. Isaiah 35 and verse 6 says that God will give you streams in the desert, in the place where you are dry, in the place where you are barren, in the place where somebody has burned you or torched you. God says that he will give you streams in the desert. And you know, it's very refreshing to get a stream in the desert. You know, as you see me up here, I preach, and sometimes I get hot and my throat gets dry. And I start to sweat a little bit. And you know, sometimes it's good to just go and get a nice cold glass of water. Now I go back to preaching, right? I might have to come back again and get some water. Why is that? Because I'm in this desert. I'm dry. And see, when you're going through a difficult situation, you're going through a desert. You're going through a barren land. You're going through a place that, like I said, you may have been scorched or you may have been burned. And it's good to know that. Yeah, I remember in the midst of going through my illness, somebody gave me a CD by Rance Allen. And I had never heard of Rance Allen before. And I started listening to Rance Allen. And he was singing this one song. And there was a phrase in this song. It says, if they turn off the light in your little house, don't let them turn off the sunshine in your heart. Boy, you talking about a stream in the desert. You're talking about somebody that was dealing with frustration and discouragement and dealing with wonder and wondering what's going to happen, and then to hear something like that in the midst of that barrenness, man, that was refreshing. That was a stream. That was exactly what I needed. And God gives us those streams in the desert places. He gives us those streams in his word. He gives us those streams in devotion. He gives us those streams in prayer. He gives us those streams as we come to worship in the church service. That's why if I was going through a difficult time, the last thing I would do is stop coming to the house of the Lord. The last thing that I would do is stop coming to a place where I can get a stream. Because God gives us those refreshing times. And you know, sometimes those refreshing times, you know, they may not last forever, but you know what they do? They're just enough to help us get through. Yeah. What's that song? Y'all sang the song, right? I was back in my office. I got a speaker back there. I hear what's going on now, y'all. What's that song say? Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. You know, there's no other we can turn to. To what? Help us face another day. gentle shepherd, come and lead us. That's a stream. That's a stream in the desert. So when you're going through, realize that God gives you streams in the desert. Number four, the worst thing that you can do whenever you're going through heartbreak is to isolate yourself. And so you, when you isolate yourself, you actually impede the healing process. And the fact of the matter is that when you isolate yourself, it only leads to more frustration and depression. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. As we talk about how do you mend a broken heart. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and chapter 4 and verse 9, he says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. So he starts out by telling us that two are better than one. So if you have been brokenhearted, the worst thing that you can do is to isolate yourself. The worst thing that you can do is cut yourself off from the world around you, cut yourself off from the fellowship of God's people. You need that. I mean, look what he says. He says two are better than one. That if you're dealing with something, the worst thing you can do is deal with it all by yourself. You know, it's good to have somebody that you can open. You know, again, now I'm going to say this, and I know that when I make a statement like this, you know, people, let me clean it up before I say it. You know, yeah, God is there, and you can turn to God, and he's all that you need. God is my all in all. I understand that. You know, he can deal with your situation, and God can take care of you, and God can minister to you. But, you know, it's just like the little girl who was in a room, and it was thundering and lightning, and her daddy came in the room, and she was in there crying. And her daddy said that, don't be afraid, daughter. He said that Jesus is with you. And she said, I know that he's with me, but I need Jesus with skin. And you know, sometimes, well, y'all missed that one. Y'all, let me go over here. This side missed it. Sometimes I need Jesus with skin. I need somebody that loves the Lord. I need somebody that's in the Word of God. I need somebody that's a prayer warrior. I need somebody that I can just go they feel with Jesus, and they got some skin. I can just touch them. And so, you know, you just can't reach out to anybody. You know, folk want to, you know, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You can be where the troubles are all gone. You want to go where everybody knows. No, you don't want to go. No. You don't want to go there. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? The speakeasy. Right, you don't want to go there. Now you want to find somebody that's rooted and grounded in the Word. You want to find somebody that has some connection with God, and that as you realize that person is connected with God, then you want to try to hook up with that individual and help let them minister to you during your time of brokenheartedness. He says here that two are better than one. He goes on to say in verse 10. For if they fall, let me give you the glazed translation. You know, I'm working on my own translation of the Bible. And, you know, so I'm going to write my the glazed translation. So when I translate.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How Do You Mend a Broken Heart, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, How Do You Mend a Broken Heart?, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do You Mend a Broken Heart? Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do You Mend a Broken Heart? Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.